Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
All right, our topic today is dangerous curves ahead. There's a story in here in Judges, and there's lots of judges who judged over Israel, some for a very brief time, some for a long time. And there is a judge here, and I'll read you a little bit about him. There was a man from Zorah, this is Judges chapter 13, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And so the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, you're going to have a child. And this is what he says to her. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. A Nazarite never cut their hair. There are three things that a Nazarite never did. They never drank wine. There are a lot of Baptists that are Nazarites. Never drank wine. They had long hair. Not many long hair Baptists, though. You know, you'd think more kids would say, Mom, I've taken a vow to be a Nazarite. Thus the long hair. Abstained from wine. They had long hair, and they had avoided defilement, like touching a dead carcass or a dead person, anything like that. So they're the three things. So he's going to be a Nazarite to God from the womb. That means even she is not supposed to drink wine or touch anything unclean while she's pregnant with this child. So that's chapter 12 and 13. That unfolds. Let me read 24 and 25 of 13. And so the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahaneh Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. All right, now here's where his troubles start. Now this kid is a piece of work, okay? And I'm reading you the beginning, and we're going to get to the end, hopefully, in our allotted time here. But I read you the beginning because before this kid was ever born, God had a plan for this child. And I think before you're ever born, God knows who you're going to be, what you're going to be, what you're going to do, where you're going to live. He knows every sin, or Jesus couldn't have died for all of them when he died on the cross to begin with. So God knows your whole story, but somehow you still have this free will to make decisions and do whatever it is you're going to do with your life, either what you want to do or what God wants you to do. But this kid, it's been decided by God, he's going to be a Nazarite, and he's born and he starts living. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now he's looking for a wife. I mean, he's looking for love basically in all the wrong places here in verse 1. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. I want this woman as my wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now guys, there is a lot of this going on today. Well, no, she's not a Christian. No, he's not a believer. No, they don't go to church. No, they're godless. No, they don't, you know, they don't care whether it's sex before or after marriage. They don't care about any of that. But she pleases me well, I want her, period. Now, God will give you what you want, right? And I imagine when you have some hands go up, you may have gotten what you wanted, but you didn't want what you got once you got it. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. He should not have been in a vineyard to begin with, drinking of the fruit of the vine or even near it. So he's messing up to begin with there, being in the wrong place. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the story tells here that he just literally, this guy is so strong, this was his deal, that he ripped this lion apart with his bare hands, just destroyed this lion, grabbed it and just, disintegrated this lion. So he does that. He sees this woman. He says in verse 7, then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. You know, they kind of blow through these terms here. I don't know what happened here, but she pleased Samson well. Well, we'll probably get the tapes of that later. Anyhow. All right, verse 8. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. I remember he'd killed this lion. He goes back to see her again. He goes, oh, I wonder what happened to that lion. Well, he gets to this lion, this carcass of this lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. These bees had made a nest inside this. It's pretty gory stuff. Anyhow, so here these bees are. Well, he took some of it in his hands and went along eating. So Samson does what? Eating the honey isn't the problem, but he reaches his hands in this dead lion. So the vineyard thing's already kicked in. The dead lion is kicked in. This boy's in trouble. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and if he's got some boundaries set up for you and some principles that work and you go against them, guys, it is trouble. And you say, yeah, but God used Samson in the end. Let me tell you something. If you see what happened to this man and how he ended up and how he died, and we'll see that in a minute, God may use your disasters, guys, but some of you are a wreck looking for a place to happen. I mean, you've got to slow down. You've got to stop this attitude of, yeah, I can do whatever and grace will abound and I'll make it in the end. There is a lot of unnecessary heartache that comes with that kind of living and that kind of attitude. Sure, God's grace will abound and sure, God will forgive and sure, his mercy will prevail. But there is a sense here of reaping what you sow. And a lot of people, you know, they sow their wild oats and then wake up the next morning and pray for a crop failure. I'm not sure if that's a familiar prayer or what that was about. Okay, so he goes along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them and they also ate. You know, don't eat everything people give to you. You don't know where it comes from necessarily. So he gave it to his parents, but he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. There's a whole lot going on here. I don't have time to get into this. But there are a lot of people doing a lot of things that nobody knows about. And it looks like Samson's doing the right thing, right? He's ripped this lion apart. He's still strong. Something's going on. But he is doing little things in his life that are going to take him out later, that are going to destroy him. And you say, well, a little compromise here, that's not going to have any major effect. I can get away with this. I'm just in the vineyard. I'm not drinking anything. So he's in this vineyard, but it's all right. He takes the honey out of the carcass. You know, I wasn't messing with this dead body, just getting honey out of it. He's doing things that are going to cause him trouble down the road. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there for young men used to do so. That was what they did, gave a big party. And their story unfolds that he poses some riddle, and if they can figure out the riddle, they get 30 garments of clothes, which was valuable back in those days. And if they don't figure it out, they give it to him. So these guys try to trick his new wife to get her to find out the answer to this deal. So she does. Then he gets upset. Verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. So he gets upset. Guys, this is ugly stuff. I mean, this guy gets upset with his wife and dumps her because she betrayed him and ends up giving her to his best man at the wedding. I mean, you want some Sally Jesse Raphael, just read this stuff. Yeah, it's more Jerry Springer-ish, isn't it? Yeah, you're probably right. All right, so that happens with that poor woman, that wife. Well, then he goes back to see this wife and her dad says, no, you can't come in. So he caught 300 foxes. Now listen close, because this isn't what it sounds like. For you cat and fox lovers. He went and caught 300 foxes and he took torches. He turned the foxes tail to tail. He didn't tie their tails in a knot and watch them. That's not what it says. And put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines. 300 foxes, ties them tail to tail, pairs, ties a torch. When he lets them go, man, they're out of there. They're dragging fire through all the fields of the Philistines. These guys are hot. So are their crops. All right, so he burns all that up. These people are lit. They want a piece of Samson. I'm going fast through a lot of these chapters. So they capture Samson, and they think they're going to kill him, and he breaks loose of these ropes, and he grabs a fresh jawbone of a donkey that's died, reached out his hand, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. in one boom, just one sitting, takes this jawbone. They're coming at him. This guy is unbelievably strong. Sometimes your strength is the thing that prevents you from seeing your weaknesses. He got away with all this stuff. There was no consequence. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm not doing exactly right, but I still have strength. I'm still mowing people down. I'm getting away with this stuff. Guys, you may be getting away with it today, but today is going to come when you will reap what you sow. Think about where you are. There are dangerous curves ahead in the life of Samson week after week, day after day, year after year. Verse 1 of chapter 16. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. It's in verse 1. He sees this hooker in Gaza. She's pretty, whatever. And he goes in unto her. And when the Gazites were told Samson was come here, they surrounded the place. They're trying to kill him. He's getting himself in compromising situations that put his life in jeopardy. You are putting yourself, I can put myself in compromising situations that can destroy literally a marriage, your life, your job. I mean, we're living this as a country right now. You see what I'm saying? So we got all these multi-layers, but let me tell you the good news and the bad news. The good news is no matter who gets caught or what happens, it's going to come out. What is done and said in secret is going to be shouted from the mountaintops. Your day's coming, and you better deal with it, and I better deal with it now. God's way, the old deal, whatever I cover, God's going to uncover, but whatever I uncover, God will cover. You better talk to somebody and watch the road signs, and when they say dangerous curves ahead, say, you know what? I've missed a curve in my life before and gone off a cliff. I'm going to pay attention and ask God to give me wisdom not to do the same stupid things again in my life. Because it's going to come around and bite you guys. So he goes into this harlot. They try to catch him. They don't catch him. And then verse 4 of this chapter. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And this is where she starts running her fingers through his hair. And it's a disaster here at the end. But she goes after him. His enemies say to her, find out what his weakness is. We can't take him. We've tried everything. He's killed 1,000 of our people. What is his weakness? So he starts playing games with her. And he says, well, if you do this and that's my weakness. And they come in to take him, and he breaks out of that and, you know, runs them off, kills them. He tells her another lie. And finally, she wears him down, and he tells her down here in verse 15, that listen to what she says to him. How can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So what happens? She tells the Philistines. One night it says here, she tells him to come in. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not, listen to this, this is tragic. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. You're going to get up one day. Now, as believers in the New Testament, Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I understand it's different now in that respect. But guys, you're going to get up one day and assume that it's going to be there. And something's not going to be there because of some sin, some compromise in your life. And I ain't just preaching this to you. Me, anybody. This applies to all of us. You've got to watch the details, the secret stuff in your life. Then the Philistines took him out and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They took his eyes out. Now you say, yeah, but he's not dead. He's just lost his eyes. You know what? If that's how you want to do it, I mean, he's getting away with a lot of stuff and he's still alive, but he's lost his power. Now he's lost his eyesight. It's costing this guy dearly to not be obedient, not do what God's told him to do. You know, and just parenthetically here, and there's some other places in Proverbs chapter 4, 5, 6, 7 in there that deals with this. When are we ever going to get this stuff? I mean, we. Isn't it interesting? You go for maybe a week or two and everything's great, and then the devil comes in, sneaks up on you, and tries the same old trick, and you go, oh, that looks like fun. I think I'll do that. And you're like, where were you 3 weeks ago when the guy pulled your eyeballs out? We fall for the same old stuff almost in a cyclical manner. Instead of saying, God, where are these dangerous curves in the road of my life? I've got to get ready for them. I know they've been here all along. They're going to come again. Pay attention to the road. And the Bible describes him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, if this is the kind of life you want to live, great. But if you're getting tired of it, guys, watch, pray, be vigilant for your adversary, the devil, it says. Or you're going to end up just like Samson. Now, God may use you along the way, but what could happen if you had stuck to your guns? So they pull his eyeballs out, it says, and they get together for this. Well, listen to this. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now, that's mercy. That's grace. It had been better if his hair had never been cut off. But God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's mercy is that it started growing back. And even grinding in the prison, even having lost his eyesight and being at the bottom of the heap, there's some signs of hope. And I think as he's grinding, his hair is growing, he realizes, I'm back. I can't get out of here yet, but I'm back. I've got strength. And he can't even see to fight anybody. Verse 23, now the Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. They've turned him into some kind of circus clown. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. They're in this building with huge pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching Samson perform. Then Samson called to the Lord. Now guys, this will give you great hope. He started out great, and he's going to end up okay, but in the middle of a disaster. But this will give some of you hope if you think, you know what, I don't have anything to offer. I feel like my eyes have been plucked out, my hair has been cut off. I've screwed it up so royally I couldn't even be written in the Bible. And he cries out to the Lord, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Remember me. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the temple of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. It's not pretty. And you know what? My life and yours probably isn't either. But it's not going to get any better if we don't start watching for the curves in the road, the things, the signposts in our life where God says, look, it's just like the past 100 miles. It's going to be the similar road. Pay attention. There are things that have tripped you up before. They're going to trip you up again. Pay attention. Have you ever noticed that you're almost in some kind of a cycle? I promise you, this is not medical or scientific, but I've kind of watched enough of my life for enough years that you're strong. There's almost like for the first 2 or 3 weeks, you might be strong, and then boom, you get hammered. Get a calendar out. There's certain things in life that can be graphed. I'll just leave that to those of you who understand what that means, and that's all I'm going to say about it, period. Anyhow, there are certain things that can be monitored. There are certain things in men's life as well. Watch your husband, watch your wife, watch your girlfriend, your boy, you know, watch people. Watch these signposts and say, God, give me wisdom to see the enemy's trying this same old stupid stuff on me and I'm driving off the road every time. Pay attention to these things in your life. It'll make a difference. And I recommend that you read, if you get a chance, especially you guys, Proverbs chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7. And there's a lot of stuff in here about adultery specifically and God warning men. And I've been thinking about this, and I can't find it in the Bible. Do you know why there's so much stuff, I think, in the Bible about God warning men of sleazy women, harlots, these women who seduce men. Because there are women who do that to men. Why isn't there stuff in here about women who get sucked in by sleazy guys? You know what? Because women aren't that stupid. I saw some headdresses on some women go up when I got going with that, and they went back down when I said that. Now think about this. Men have a tendency to get sucked in by the stupidest stuff. And I'm telling you guys, we are living this as a country. Men get tripped up by the stupid little things in life, and one woman somewhere, the wrong place, the wrong time, can destroy a man's life, his career. I'm not saying it can't happen. Women get seduced by men. I'll grant you that. But women don't just, on a whim usually, just fall into some one-night stand type of thing. It's usually over more of a period of time. You're wiser, you guard your affections, and he may get to you over a period of time, but it's not going to be just bam, right? I'm not saying men are stupid, but I thought that would go over big in this room, so. But it's usually God in the Bible warning men, sharing stories of men. And I know we got a lot of women in here, and we got a lot of single people, we found out. But guys, be careful. And if you haven't read it in a while, go read. I mean, it's pretty graphic stuff, like in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. Drink waters from your own cistern. He's talking to men here. And running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. God is saying to men, don't go looking somewhere else. Stick to your wife. Stay home. Be with her. I mean, it's in the book, guys. And it goes on talking about, you know, and there are women who do seduce men. Be careful of this stuff. Don't be one of those women. But don't be one of these men either. Be cautious. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you can stay on the road. The book says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Decide to be one of the people who's going to find the road and stay on the road. It's a narrow road, but you can stay on it. But you're going to have to pay attention to the signposts. You're going to have to watch those signs when they say dangerous curves ahead. And watch the road. Watch the enemy.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. And I pray for the people in this room, Father, who are very close possibly to just literally going off a cliff. And I pray that you would give them wisdom, insight, wisdom to look back over the years of their life and see when they've bought the lie, how expensive it was. But Father, when we receive the gift of the truth, it pays and pays in a positive way for a long haul. Father, the enemy is so cunning. And so much of what he throws our way is so alluring, and we are so easily deceived. And I pray that you'd open our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that they would not be hardened against what you're speaking to us, and that we would understand that it's not your will, it's not your desire to withhold any good thing from us, that you want better for us than we do, than anybody else does. But there's a right way to live, there's a wrong way to live, there are consequences that are good and bad with both plans. Father, bless this group of people. And for some people who feel like they're not even on the road, they're just driving around in a wilderness somewhere, Father, let them understand that this journey begins with a relationship that we can establish with Jesus Christ, because he lived, he died, was buried and raised from the dead, and has purchased heaven for us as an absolute free gift. And we reach out, as it were, the hands of our heart and say, God, I know you love me. I believe it. I see it. I receive this awesome gift of eternal life that I can spend with you. And I thank you that it includes an abundant life between here and heaven. And I ask you to change me, change my heart, change my mind, change my life, change my past, forgive it, and change my future. Give me hope, Lord. and teach me to know that you love me, that I can love you, myself, and my neighbor as myself. Use us to make a difference in the world around us. As you live in and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.